Welcome to a brand new series that is the letters, the epistles that Paul wrote in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's what we're going to be doing for the next 4 weeks. Each week, we're going to look at one of those letters that Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, in Ephesians, in Philippians, in Colossians. So we're titling it, G-E, Go Eat Popcorn. I know that's corny and silly, but guess what? It'll help you remember that these letters are Paul's instruction to the church, to the churches in those areas on how they were to live. So today, we're looking at the book of Galatians. And here's the cool thing. If you are reading the McShane Bible reading plan, guess what? You're going to be reading this in really probably about a week or so that you'll be reading Galatians. And so I want to give you kind of an overview of Galatians. It's a great book. It's the first book of the Bible that God's word like really came alive to me. So it's got a special place in my heart. And it was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written to four churches in Galatia, which is a geographical region in the heart, the very middle of Asia Minor, or what is today modern-day Turkey. And the four churches were Iconium, Derbe, Lystra, and Antioch. And so Paul is writing to these churches that he's already visited. Actually, he went to these places and established the churches, and now he's writing to these four churches. So it's one letter that got passed around to all of the churches. And it was instructions to them on what was really important in following Christ. So for us, the implications are like very practical and very applicable for right where we are. And so I'm going to point out three major themes in Galatians. Now, here's the deal. I'm painting with a very wide brush. Like this is an overview of Galatians. It is not an in-depth look, but I pray that it inspires you to look at God's word in depth and to seek him and say, Lord, speak to me, show me. So right here in Galatians chapter 1, guess what? This is the first time as I began to seek God that, man, he did something inside of me. Like it became alive, and it was all at the inspiration at the time, my youth pastor. And he was actually preaching a series called General Electric Power Company, which is Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I just changed it to Go Eat Popcorn because we can. So, and it's for me more memorable. This is Paul writing to these four churches, and he does his little introduction at the beginning of chapter 1. Then we see in verse 6 the crux of his, at least the first point of him writing this letter. And it says this, it says, Paul's writing, he says, I am shocked that you were turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. That's a pretty intense way to start a letter. I'm shocked that you're turning away from God. And here's the first point, and it's the first theme of Galatians. Return to God. Return to God. You need to turn to him. Some of you, maybe you need to turn to God. Maybe you don't know who he is. And some of you, you know who he is, but you've kind of turned away and you've done your own thing. And maybe you've deviated a little bit. Maybe that 1 or 2 degrees on that compass, but on the journey of life, you end up way off base if you keep traveling 1 or 2 degrees off. So guess what? The first theme, the first big point that we see in Galatians is Paul saying to these churches, I'm shocked. You're turning away so soon from God. And it's the call to turn to God, maybe to turn to him for the first time or maybe to turn back to him. And then he goes on to say, he says, you're following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it's not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. And let's make sure that we're following Jesus, that we're following his word, and not some tradition, not something that we've made up that we've thought is a good idea, but we're following him. So here's the first point. Return to God. Turn back to God. And then in verse 10, and this is the verse that's so near and dear to my heart, because I was reading this because my youth pastor challenged us too, and I was pretty competitive. It's like, yeah, I'm going to read Galatians this week. It's 6 chapters, so it's pretty easy. And so I'm reading this, and it just smacks me. It says, obviously, Paul's writing, says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I wouldn't be Christ's servants. Okay, so I jumped up for a moment because I wanted to get something. As we look at Galatians, the first theme, the first thing that we see, yeah, it really is like, hey, guys, why are you not following God? Have you turned away so soon? And then Paul goes on to write in Galatians 1:10. And the reason that I stepped out is because Galatians 1:10 is really powerful for me because it's the first time that God spoke to me through his word. And it jumped off the page, even though I was just doing like my duty. Like I really did want to like know God more and like please him. But I was reading because somebody told me I should read. So guess what? You should read. I'm telling you that. But maybe as you're sincerely seeking God, even though somebody's prodding you to read, maybe he'll speak to you. And so I jumped up to get this Bible. It's busted up. This is the Bible when at 14 years old, I was reading Galatians 1:10 because my youth pastor said to, and I highlighted it and started. You can see it right there. And this is what it says. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Man, and that really got me. Because I realized I was living to please people. My parents, my youth pastor, my teachers. And what is God saying in that? He's saying, if you're living to please people, you can't be a servant of Jesus. Wow. Whose approval am I seeking? So as we read Galatians, here's the big theme. We need to turn to God and stop trying to live life for other people or for ourselves. And then we need to remember. I love this because this is a theme through the Bible. If you remember the series, The Journey. Actually, if you go back to Genesis, God called Abraham. If you go to Exodus, God called Moses. If you go through the Bible, God's call is on every great man and woman of God. And his call is on us today. And Paul says in verse 15 of chapter 1, after he's saying, I can't believe you've turned away, turn back to God. Stop trying to please other people, including yourself. Please God. And then he says this, even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. I want you to remember, or maybe this is the first time you've heard it, but you need to know God chose you and God called you by his marvelous grace. That means you're getting something that you don't deserve. And you may say, this is, well, I know that, but he makes you worthy. You've got to know there's a call on your life. Seek his approval. Turn to him. Turn away from whatever it is you've been chasing. This is Galatians chapter 1. This is the first theme. Turn to God. Seek his approval, not other people's, not even your own. And remember, there's a call on your life. God has chosen you. He's chosen you. Then we see that he hasn't chosen you because you've tried real hard and you've been real good. In chapter 2, it says, verse 16, it says, we know that a person is made right with God by going to church, by tithing, by being kind to other people, by serving. No. We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Remember, there's a call on your life. God's chosen you, and it's not about what you have done or are doing or not doing. It's because he has a destiny on you. And when you trust him, when you have faith in him, when you believe, God, I know you have something for me, and you begin to pursue him, turning from your ways, stop seeking the approval from other places, and you say, God, I'm yours, he begins to show up. It's such a cool verse that we're made right with God by faith in Jesus, not by obeying the law. That, listen, that does not give you the right to speed. That would be nice, wouldn't it, Lane? I like fast things, but we're called to have faith in Christ. So what's the point of the law? Well, I'm glad you asked. Chapter 3, verse 19. I drew a little line in my Bible down here. It's okay to mark in your Bible. You should be reading your Bible and hopefully marking in it. If you're just using digital, that's okay. That's not my thing. Why then was the law given? Paul asked this. It was given alongside the promise. That means the promise that God has for all of us, that he has a place for us. He has a people for us. He's called us. It was given, the law was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. Romans 3:20, Paul writes later to the church in Rome. He says, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, but through the law comes the knowledge of sin. See, the law was given, like the Ten Commandments is what we're talking about right now. The law of God was given to show us that we can't keep it, that we can try, but we're going to fail. It's not the law that makes us right. The law just shows us where we screw up. Guess what? We all do. We all sin. But that is why Jesus came, to be the sacrifice for our sin. And when we trust him with all, that's what makes us right. And so here's the theme. Turn to God. Turn to God. Stop seeking other people's approval. Stop doing things your way. Trust him because there's a call on your life, because he chose you before you were ever born. And it's not about what you're doing. It's about your heart and faith and trust in him. And then Paul writes this. He says, so I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. And it sounds contradictory, doesn't it? So wait, he says, I stopped trying to meet all the requirements of the law. I died to the law so that I might live for God. In other words, he stopped his own striving. He stopped trying in his own strength to fulfill the law because he knew he couldn't. None of us can. And what he did do was this, the next verse, verse 20. What a great verse. My old self has been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means he says, listen, I'm not trying to live by the law. I'm just saying God hears all of me and all that old, nasty, dirty, gross me. And Jesus, just like you were nailed to the cross, I'm taking that nasty sin and I'm saying it's up there with you, Jesus. It's all yours. In fact, where was it? It says in verse 24, chapter 5, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Paul's saying, I got to turn to God, but I got to get rid of this old me. So my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. I want you to think about that statement. I'm not living my life for me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can't turn to God until I first turn from myself. This is really chapter 1 and 2. I've got to turn to God. I've got to know that he's chosen me and he's called me, and that it's not about me doing good things. It's about me surrendering to him, turning from my wickedness, nailing it to the cross with Jesus, and following him. That's it. That's the first major theme. He goes on in chapter 4 to say that we're no longer slaves. When we do that, we're no longer a slave to sin. And actually, we get to live in tremendous freedom. But he says, you're not a slave any longer, but God's own child. And since you're his child, God's made you his heir. How cool is that? When we turn from ourself, our sin, receive what Jesus did on the cross and say, my old self, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who lives, but Jesus lived through me. We become his child and his heir. And then the next thing we see in chapter 5, here's the next big thing. The first one is turn to God. Here's the second one. And it's really to these churches, like y'all need to return to God. Maybe you're listening to me and you know you need to return to God and the place that he has for you so that you can become the person that he's called you to be, and you stop trying to keep the law and do the right thing. Instead of trying to do the right thing, just be with the right one, and that's him. And he'll make you righteous because of him, not you. Now, so that's one, return to him. The second thing is this, live by his spirit. Live by his spirit, not your own. Not a spirit of rejection, not a spirit of fear, not a spirit of insecurity, not a spirit of pride, but a spirit, the spirit of Christ leading you. Why? Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. So make sure that you stay free. Because there's freedom. When your life is not your own and you go, Lord, I'm just going to do what you've called me to do, life becomes an adventure because you know that a few things. You know God's going to take care of you. He's got something good for you in the end, though you may have to walk through some junk. And that you know that you can walk in freedom because he's got it. He's got you. You can trust him. You've surrendered all to him. You've gotten rid of your old self. It becomes an adventure and it becomes fun. Not always easy, but always wonderful in the end. Walk in the place of freedom. The only time you're going to do that is if you live by his spirit. That's why it says, so Christ has set us free. And then in verse 13, he says this, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Are you living in bondage? Are you living miserable? That's not God's plan for you. That's not his purpose for you. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you know that God's carrying you through the misery in the middle of junk, you can know that there's something good on the other side. It's not always easy. Ask Job, but it's always worth it. And we can have the freedom of knowing what the end looks like, which is good. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. You've been called to live in freedom, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, look at this, it's so key. Use your freedom to serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. You can't walk in freedom. You cannot live by the Spirit of God and bite and devour other believers. Does not happen. Does not. Live by his spirit. What does that look like? Well, Galatians 5:16, actually the next verse. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. He describes what the sinful nature is, all sorts of things, desires opposite of what God's called us to, what the Spirit calls us to. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, ambition, dissension, division, drunkenness, wild parties, other things like these. We all know what they are. But then in verse 22, Paul writes, yes, but here's what the fruit, this is what grows in your life when you live by God's Spirit. This is what grows. Verse 22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Are you turning to God? That's number one. Number two, are you living by His Spirit? If you are constantly biting and devouring and criticizing and critiquing other people, I'm telling you right now, you are not living by God's Spirit. You're living by a spirit of pride and condemnation. And I pray that the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes on you, that you know that you can live by His Spirit. And the fruit of that is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. This is what should mark the believer's life. A follower of Jesus, their life should be marked by the fact that they're led by the Spirit of God. Here's the third thing. It's chapter 6. It says it's key. So here's the three big points. The first one is in Galatians, return to God. Return to God. The second one is live by His Spirit, His leading, not your own. And here's the third one. Don't burn out. Don't burn out. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep going. chapter 6, verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't grow weary. Don't get tired. It is, how do you not get tired? Maybe we should go back to, wasn't it last week, Lane, that I was in Exodus, where to make the place for God, for His presence, for His power, it has to come from the place of rest. And He's saying, don't get tired in doing good. Don't give up. Keep going. You're going to reap a harvest if you just don't burn out and quit. How do you do that? You trust God with your time, with your treasure, with your talent. You live by His Spirit, and you crucify yourself. You say, not like your old self, that sinful nature. You say, that's on the cross with Jesus. I'm a new creation, and I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to give up. And then, at the very end, Paul writes this. He says in verse 15, he says, what counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. This is the point of turning to God, living by His Spirit, never giving up, transformed lives. So here's my question to you. Has your life been transformed by God? The power of God really is transformative. You know, Jesus said that the road to destruction is really wide, but the path to Jesus is really narrow. Do you know Him? I pray that you do, because when you do, and you turn to Him or return to Him, when you live by His Spirit, when you keep pushing through, just not giving up, the result is a transformed life. And the cool thing is, it's never just yours. It impacts the people around you. And maybe God's dealing with you and you need to surrender to Him. If that's you, you can pray just a very sincere prayer just like this. Dear Jesus, I turn to You. I turn from my way. I don't want to live by my Spirit. I want to live by Yours. I believe You died on the cross for my sin. Forgive me for my sin. Take it and put it on the cross with You. My life is Yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let us know. I want to help you grow in your walk with God, connect you with resources, connect you with people, because I know this, as you follow Him, the best is yet to come. God bless. Hope to hear from you. See you soon.